Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you've never given birth before, you may be wondering how to know if your labor is the real thing or just a warm-up round. Does loss of your mucus plug mean anything? What about a short contraction here and there? Can you be dilated 1 or 2 centimeters without being in labor? I'm Susan Melnico, a certified nurse midwife, and today we'll be discussing how to know if you're really in labor. This is Preggy Pals, episode 92.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit. I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Annie Laird. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Preggy Pals Club. Our members get special episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. See our website for more information. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Preggy Pals app, available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. Now, Sunny, our producer, is going to tell you a little bit more about our virtual panelist program.
Hey, everybody. So if you're not located right here in beautiful sunny San Diego, where we record our shows, you can still be part of them. You can join us on Facebook, so you can friend us, find our page, which is just Preggy Pals on Facebook. If you are big Twitterers, you can also find us on Twitter at Preggy Pals. Actually, it's Preggy _ Preggy Pals, because Preggy Pals was taken, believe it or not. And so you can also look for hashtag Preggy Pals VP, because we're going to be posting questions before we start recording our shows and even throughout our recordings of the same questions we're going to be asking panelists right here in the studio. And of course, we want everyone to be able to participate. We're going to read them on our show, and then we're also going to select a winner that can win a free 1 month subscription to the Preggy Pals Club just for participating. So we hope to see you guys online.
Great. Well, let's introduce ourselves, Sunny and myself, as you know, I think this topic is really applicable not only for first-time parents, of course, they're wondering of how do I know that I'm in labor, but even for our multips, our moms who have given birth many times before, it's a different experience every time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So my name's Annie. I'm the host. I'm 35 years old during the day. I am a contractor for the Navy. I teach sailors, and that's a lot of fun. On the weekends, I do Preggy Pals. So I don't have a due date. I think we're done with due dates for a while. I have three little girls at home. I had a rough night last night. And so, I told my husband as we were playing with the toddler at 6 a.m. that we were done. Da-dun-dun-dun. We were done. We're done. Very done. So, but you know, each of my three girls, like an 8-year-old, a toddler, and then a newborn. And each of the times, I had that thought of, how do I know that I'm in labor? You know, you don't know. So then over to you, Sunny.
Yeah, so I'm a mommy of four. I have two little boys, Sayer and Urban. Sayer's my oldest. He is, almost 3.5. And Urban is, he's over 20 months. I think 21, 22. I'd have to do the math. And right now, mommy brain is working hard. So I'm not sure the exact age of him. I do have, I don't know, Annie, are they newborns now? I mean, my girls.
They're newborns.
Are they
still newborns? They're in 1 to 3. They're in 0 to 3 month closing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, my girls, I've got identical twin girls to round out my family. We are done after this. And so they are about 2.5 months old. And yeah, you're right. Like every time with all of them, I did wonder if I was in labor, if I was going to go into labor. My first.
Because it planned cesarean.
Right. Yeah. So my first was a vaginal birth. Didn't know what to expect at all as far as going into labor was concerned. And then my second was a planned cesarean. I thought, well, am I going to go into labor before this, C-section? It was planned 2 weeks prior
right.
to his due date. date.
So that you wouldn't go into labor.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I wouldn't. But a lot of people ask me, they're like, well, why don't you still go into labor? I'm like, no, if I know I'm going to have a cesarean, I don't want to go into labor. Mm-hmm. I just, I want the baby to be big enough so it's healthy and there's no complications. But
right.
I don't want to go into labor if I know it's going to result in a cesarean.
Yeah, that you needed to have that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, God heard me. And then with the twins, I go into labor at 35 weeks with a planned cesarean. I'm like,
she had a video on Facebook. Oh. It was very awesome. It had a lot of likes.
Oh, yeah. We're on our way to the hospital. Yeah. My water broke. Usually, you're in labor before your water breaks, right? So I had no idea. I just started leaking. And then I was like, I'm either peeing myself. Well, and I was getting into the shower, too. So I was like, my gosh, what is going on here? How can I just be, there's a lot of pressure with twins. But I'm like, come on. Mm-hmm. I'm not just going to pee just for no reason.
Yeah. I've never been twins pregnant with twins, but I have been pregnant with very big babies. So that is a question towards the end there of like, am I peeing myself or is that my water breaking?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Frankie Pals, this is Paula from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, and I have a quick question about drinking alcohol during pregnancy. Before I got pregnant, my husband and I really liked having a glass of wine with dinner or while we're sitting relaxing watching TV, and I don't have that glass of wine anymore, but really there's so much information out there with different opinions from different experts about benefits of having maybe an occasional glass of wine while I'm pregnant. So really, I just want to know what the real information is. Are there any health benefits to drinking wine or to having any other types of alcohol during pregnancy? Thanks.
Hi, Paula. This is Dr. Kavtanakis. I just wanted to thank you for your question. It's a great question. It is quite controversial. I'll let you know what the current recommendation by the American Congress of OBGYN stance is. They currently say no alcohol during pregnancy. The big question is, we don't know how much alcohol is needed to cause a condition called fetal alcohol syndrome. That condition is very devastating, and we don't know what level of alcohol can cause it. So the current recommendations, again, here in the U.S. by ACOG, is no alcohol. Having said that, you are correct. There are several European studies that have said there may be some benefits to an occasional glass of wine. There's a French study that says there may be a decreased rate in ADHD in sons born to women who have an occasional glass of wine. Having said that, because of the fact that nobody is really going to do a blind randomized study and give women alcohol and then test the effects on their children, in the U.S., again, the current recommendation is no alcohol. I hope that helps. I hope you have a great pregnancy. And if you have any questions, give us a call. Thank you so much. Bye.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at Menards.
Well, today on Preggy Pals, we're discussing how to know if you are really in labor. Joining us today is our expert, Susan Melnico. Susan's been a certified nurse midwife for 30 years. She's practiced full scope midwifery in home, birth center, and in hospitals. And very exciting news, she is opening up her own birth center, Tree of Life, for healthy birthing and parenting. Susan, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So Sunny and I were talking about, what week of pregnancy do women normally go into labor? And for me, it was It's like 41 weeks. I've never gone before my due date. What? And you were mentioning, Sunny, in the intro that your twins were 35 weeks. What about your other two boys?
Let's see. My first was 40 weeks and 3 days. Went into labor naturally. Mm-hmm. And then my middle guy was born at about 38 weeks via cesarean. Never went into labor.
Right. So, Susan, I mean, what week of pregnancy do is you know, full term?
Well, it's interesting because at the very first visit, when I see someone prenatally and we're going over all the pregnancy and what to expect, I tell them when we choose a due date that it's a 5-week window.
Wow.
And that surprises people.
Yeah.
But
Is that new?
No, it's not new at all. Oh. It's just that we live in a culture that is so exact, mm-hmm. and we're used to knowing absolutely everything, and we've kind of lost some of the mystery. But to be honest, between 37 weeks of pregnancy up to 42 weeks is perfectly normal. Mm-hmm. That's considered term for pregnancy.
Wow.
So that, you know, there aren't that many people that will go into labor at 37 weeks, but if they do, it's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. And we've chosen that as term because that's when we know, research has shown us that babies' lungs are fully mature at 37 weeks.
So that's the last thing to develop.
It is the last thing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we want to know that little baby's going to be able to breathe on its own when it's born. Prior to 37 weeks, we call that preterm.
And I imagine that'd be a concern for a lot of our listeners. You know, if you are in those early 30 weeks, yeah, the baby probably be okay. But I imagine that the breathing might be a real issue.
Yeah, usually needs assistance with breathing up until about 34 to 35 weeks.
Yeah.
And sometimes even beyond that, but not often. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, the nursing is one of the last things to develop in terms of the neurological system. Mm-hmm. So we even know that at 37 weeks, sometimes babies aren't as good at nursers as they are at 38 or 39.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that women usually go into labor, is it correct that they usually feel contractions, vice, you know, water breaking? Is that the normal
happens?
Or
We see so much about the dramatic water breaking in the movies that we have, you know, where
they're always at a restaurant.
Exactly.
Yeah, or the grocery store. Drop a jar of Pringles.
Yeah. And you see the mad rush to the hospital after the water is broken, and that's very rare.
Yeah.
Okay. The water breaking, usually it will be the first thing to happen in about 20% of pregnancies. And it'll be one of the last things to happen in about 80% of pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, it can be very, very different for each woman and for each pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And identifying when the water has broken can sometimes be difficult because it's not always the big gush of fluid to the floor that we see in the movies. Sometimes it can be just a little trickle, mm-hmm. but it will be constant. It won't stop once it's started. And that can help you, you know, to know, is this really my water bag or is it just a little bit of discharge? What's going on?
Yeah.
So usually if a woman calls, I'll tell her, put on a pad and let's see what happens. And if the trickle continues and she's getting wet, the pad continues to get wet, then she needs to be evaluated because it probably is her water bag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a doula client last summer, and it was kind of, her practitioner told her the same thing. And I had advised her after the birth that it was a really good idea to get some adult incontinence diapers. So she had the Depends on hand. It was just very, I found it's very easy after I give birth to, you know, instead of dealing with
the pad and the shifting
and then there's blood on the sheets. It's just go get yourself. There's your free tip of the day from Annie Laird. Go get yourself some adult diapers. It is worth it. But anyway, so she had these adult diapers on hand. I said, why don't you put on one of your Depends?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so she did. And sure enough, it just kept coming and coming. And
exactly.
She needed to change her own diaper. You know, and that's how she knew.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
exactly.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what do women usually describe a contraction? So say they're, it's not, you know, their water or anything like that. It's a contraction. Mm-hmm. What do women say that feels like?
I have found that it really varies a lot.
Isn't that what makes it so hard, though?
It does.
Like, how do you want to know? Am I just having a backache or, you know,
exactly.
Who knows?
Yeah. I do find that oftentimes women will have like premenstrual type sensations for a week or two before they go into labor. And then when the labor contractions start, some women can feel it in the front, down low, like a sharp, sharp discomfort. And other people feel it in their back. and they don't realize that they're having contractions, they say, I've got this low back pain. And I'll always ask, well, is it rhythmic? Is it coming and going? And they'll say, yeah. And then if I'm with them and I put my hand on their abdomen, I can feel that her abdomen is tightening and she's having a contraction while she's feeling lower back pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be really variable for different women.
Yeah. Oh, what is a Braxton-Hicks contraction?
A Braxton-Hicks contraction is where the uterus rhythmically contracts and it's felt later in the pregnancy. It actually starts at about 16 weeks in women. Mm-hmm. But
I imagine most women can't feel that.
Exactly. Though, yeah. Most women can't feel it, but it's very normal. And it's rhythmic contractions that the uterus does, which tells us that the hormones are working perfectly. There will be more Braxton-Hicks after sexual activity with orgasm. Mm-hmm. And there will also be more with walking and physical activity. But they're perfectly normal. They can be uncomfortable, but it's a different type of sensation than usually labor contractions.
Yeah. I mean, how would a woman know, though, if it's a rhythmic contraction, if it's a Braxton-Hicks, or if it's they're actually in labor?
In my experience, it doesn't have the same quality that a labor contraction will. And again, that's difficult if you've never had a baby, if it's your first baby.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, like I said, it's uncomfortable, but it's not really painful.
Yeah. It doesn't have that moment of, this just got real.
Exactly. Because yeah. I tell people, really go inside and pay attention, because when labor does start, usually a woman knows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh yeah, this is different than anything that I've experienced previously.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's considered a good pattern of contractions?
Again, it's variable, but oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes labor will start with contractions just spread out, maybe one an hour, one every 30 minutes, and then will gradually increase to one every 20, every 15, every 10. But when we know, we consider you're in active labor when you're having really good, strong contractions, at least about every 4 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they're all lasting a minute, where they're pretty uncomfortable for a minute, and they've been that way for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our rule of thumb. We sometimes call it 4-1-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you say, how do you measure, the 4 minutes?
Uh-huh. You look at the clock and you time from the beginning of one contraction to the beginning of the next contraction. And
So that includes the time that you're actually having the contraction.
Correct.
Then. Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call the frequency,
mm-hmm.
how frequently they're coming.
Okay.
I know that there are phone apps now.
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of people that have those apps.
I was using that once I realized that this definitely was my water breaking with the twins.
Oh, did you have pattern of contractions then?
I did. I was trying to figure them out. But
yeah.
There was so much I was doing in the, you know.
There's an app for that.
And it's sometimes hard to tell when a contraction is starting and ending. You would think
it is.
You would know,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it's so vague. And is that, you know, just a little twinge of a pain, or is that really part of the contraction still?
And that's where, if they're not real, real strong, you can put your hand on the top of your abdomen, the fundus of your uterus, and feel if it's getting firm and how long it stays firm. And that's where someone else around you, your doula, your partner, a family member, a friend, may put their hand there. If you're kind of, it's easier objectively to do it if it's somebody else.
Yeah.
But they can place their hand on the top of your abdomen and feel it actually get hard.
Oh.
And that's how we as providers time the contraction.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Susan, is that normally when a care provider will tell a woman that it's time to go to the hospital or birthing center when it's 4-1-1? Is that the typical?
We always tell people, well, I shouldn't say always, not all providers do,
yeah.
but the practices that I've worked in, we tell women to call and talk to us.
Ah.
Because we can usually tell by
I'm
talking to
someone
on the
phone. I'm having a baby today. Yay! Should I come in?
Exactly.
Midwife Susan, should I come in? I'm so excited to have a baby. No, probably not.
Now, I have been fooled a couple of times, you know, so it's not a surefire.
Yeah.
But usually we can tell by the sound of your voice. And I oftentimes will keep someone on the phone for 15, 20 minutes and time them myself. And she'll tell me when she's starting one and when she's ending so that we can get a feel for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I was always afraid of is, at least especially for my firstborn, of that I would go to the hospital and just everything would stop.
That's an interesting thing, because that's very, very common.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
And it's so depressing, too. You know, I'm just like, that's never actually happened to me, but I'd heard enough women that it said that happened to them. And I was just like, oh, for the love of God, like, I'm going to go in pushing. Like, I was no hero for pain the first time around. You know, I was just like, you know, I'm going to go in and get my epidural, but... You know, I didn't want to be sent home, you know?
No, it happens really, really frequently. Yeah. And most people have heard of the fright or flight response mm-hmm. of hormones. And that's can go on in labor very easily. And when you get up and you pack everything up and you get in the car, your hormones kind of respond to what's happening. And you arrive at your place, the hospital or the birth center where you're going to give birth, everything's different. And so you secrete some stress hormones. And stress hormones compete with oxytocin. It's like your body can't do both at the same time. So we oftentimes will see the contractions spread out when someone first arrives where they're going to give birth.
Yeah.
But a good provider will know that's a common thing and won't make a quick evaluation on what's going on at that time, but give some time. You know, I usually say, let's give it an hour and kind of see what's happening. Because once a mom feels secure and comfortable where she is, her oxytocin kicks back in.
Yeah.
And then we see the contractions frequently again.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend who gave birth at Best Start Birth Center, and that very thing. And that was one of the stories that scared me the most, because uh-huh. she was just a really good birthing lady. You know, she uh-huh. just would do it happen. Not I would say precipitously, but it was very straightforward.
Right.
Like, she knew when she was having that baby, and you better believe her. You know, so she went to a Best Start Birth Center, and like everything stopped. And her husband wanted to get in the car and go, you know, up to like Lake Elsinore or something up north, which is like an hour and a half north of here. And she told him, no, we're staying here. And she actually gave birth in the parking lot of Best Start Birth Center. You know, but she went from no contractions to... Like 2 hours later, she just walked around Balboa Park and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, you know, insane. So I think that's yeah. something a lot
that
of
That doesn't usually happen with a first baby, although
yeah,
it
was her second baby.
Yeah.
So what they say
but
about second babies.
Yeah, exactly. They can be very surprising.
Expeditious. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be discussing some other signs that you may think that you're in labor. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about how to know if you're really in labor. Now, Susan, let's talk about the mucus plug. So what does mucus plug look like?
It can look different for each woman. Sometimes it can look like nasal snot. Mm-hmm. And it'll be kind of yellowish, whitish, sometimes even greenish. Sometimes it comes out as a big solid plug mm-hmm. and it's very distinguishable. You know, women know, oh yeah, that's what this is. But oftentimes it doesn't come out like that, and it will kind of start to come out as a discharge, a heavier discharge. Mm-hmm. It won't be as watery. It can be more kind of pasty with still some mucus threads to it.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's common to have a little blood mixed in with it as it comes, you know, it sloughs down from the lining of the cervix.
Is a mucus plug different than like bloody show then?
It's about the same. It can be the same.
Okay. Oh gosh, that's so hard to decipher then.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And every woman's different. Some women will never ever see bloody show mm-hmm. and others will have quite a bit of bloody show mixed with mucus.
Yeah.
So
and that's so hard too, I think, because towards the end of pregnancy, you have just so much. So that was a real, you know, shocker to me as a first-time pregnant mom. And then I wasn't really excited about the second and third time around. Is you're going back to wearing panty liners at the end of the pregnancy.
Exactly.
Like, what is this? I thought I had, you know, a good 9 months off of periods.
Right.
But yeah, you're right back to that again.
Obviously, if there's heavy bleeding, a woman needs to seek care immediately.
So you're talking like bright red. Yeah.
If it's flowing and it's bright red, that would not be normal.
Mm-hmm.
But the bloody show, it can be a dark brown, a pink, or it can be bright red, but it will be self-limited. It will be like you wipe and you see it a couple of times, and it's not like it's flowing, like you're actively bleeding. That would be different.
No, just because she lost the mucus plug, does that mean that she's in labor?
No.
Oh,
unfortunately. I've seen some women lose the mucus plug a couple of weeks before they have the baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Along that same vein. So you could be a couple centimeters dilated then.
You know, if it's your second baby, I've had several moms be 4 or 5 centimeters dilated for a month.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
So that doesn't, you know, it's really hard because you get so excited if your provider checks you and tells you you're 3-4 centimeters dilated.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell us when you're going to go into labor, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's definitely not a magic eight ball type of thing.
No.
Like, oh, let's do a cervical check. Okay. You're going to be going in labor 23 hours from now. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, before the break, we talked about when a woman's water breaks and that, you know, is that a sure sign of labor? Do you know that you are in labor when your water breaks?
We consider it that you're starting labor for sure, but you may, your water might break and you might not have contractions immediately.
Okay.
And every care provider kind of has a different standard.
Mm-hmm.
The midwives that I work with, we use a 24-hour standard. We kind of want to know that you're in active labor within 24 hours.
Okay.
Some hospitals and physicians use a shorter amount of time and some midwives use a longer amount of time.
Okay.
But one of the really important things to look for when you think your water bag is broken is what color is this water that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It should be clear, like tap water. It might have a little mucus flecks in it. It might have a little white from the baby's vernix, but it definitely shouldn't have a deep yellow, green, black, or brown color to it.
What does the color indicate, Susan?
If it were any of those colors, it could indicate meconium, which is the baby's first bowel movement. And if you're past your due date, if you're 41 or 42 weeks, sometimes it's common for the baby to have passed meconium, and it might not necessarily be a sign of distress, but sometimes meconium can be a sign of distress.
Mm-hmm.
So if we see that kind of color, it's very, very important to get in and have your provider check the baby, see what's going on, do a full assessment, and then we would want to watch the baby closely if that were going on.
What other kind of things, if a woman's water breaks, say that her water breaks and she knows that it's her water, as we talked about beforehand, it's either a huge gush or a constant trickle. What are some of the other things that she should be looking for?
Well, it's important to understand what that membrane, you know, the baby has grown in the amniotic sac, which holds the water, and there's usually 2 to 3 liters of water with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So once that sac has broken, there's a little hole that happens in the membrane, and that's why you start leaking water. The protective barrier for infection is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that baby has been protected that whole time. So once that's gone, that's what we get a little bit more concerned about. We want to know that the baby is still safe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we all have different time periods that we think is okay to wait for the baby to, for you to be in active labor and for the baby to be born.
Okay.
The other thing that's real important, most providers will check for group beta strep bacteria in women at around 36 weeks of pregnancy. Group beta strep bacteria is a very common bacteria. It's not an infectious process for a mother. It's normal for adult people to have that bacteria in their intestines. But for some people, it grows abundantly during pregnancy and it comes out and it's in the vaginal perineal area. It can cause a problem for the baby. So that's the other thing to consider. If your water bag has broken, you want to know what your group beta strep status is. If you're negative, then we're not as concerned. But if you're positive, then we want to know that, you know, most providers will be providing antibiotics in labor. And once the water bag breaks, we would want to start the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Right away then, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're talking about group beta strep. I mean, is that common to go from negative to positive and positive to negative? You could be 42 weeks. Mm-hmm. If you get tested at 36 weeks, can that change from one status to another? Positive to negative?
It can. Mm-hmm. And that's why the test is now deemed valuable mm-hmm. for about 4 to 5 weeks.
Okay.
And if you go past that time, oftentimes providers will test again.
Ah, okay.
Especially if it was a negative. If it's positive the first time, most providers won't test again. They just say, you know, you were positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks, Susan, for joining us today. For more information about Susan and her midwifery practice, as well as about her new birth center that's opening up in North County in San Diego, visit our episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of Preggy Pals Club. After the show, Susan will be discussing what to do if your water breaks but you have no contractions. To join our club, visit our website, www.preggypals.com.
Before we wrap with today's show, here is Jeanette McCulloch with some of the best online pregnancy resources.
Hello, Preggy Pals. I'm Jeanette McCulloch of Birthswell. We at Birthswell believe that you as a mother will make the right health decisions for your pregnancy and birth when you have access to evidence-based information and a strong support system. That's why I'm here to share with you new media tools to find the information that's right for you. You may have heard of Ayn Mae Gaskin. She's the legendary midwife who founded the Farm Midwifery Center in Tennessee in the 1970s. She'll tell you just how important it is to hear birth stories, all kinds of birth stories, while you're pregnant. If you were showing, you've probably already heard more than one unsolicited birth story. If it was well-meaning, but felt a little more like a war story than a love story, you are not alone. There's something about our birth culture that makes the sharing of positive stories taboo. But, as Ina May would say, while stories can't tell you what your own experience will be like, they can illustrate how wide the range of normal birth is. That's why birthstoriesondemand.com is such a great resource for preparing for birth. Click on the Read a Birth Story, and you'll find everything from natural birth stories to home births to quick births. While there's plenty of positive options to explore, including sections on midwife-assisted births, the site doesn't shy away from the kinds of stories that help us know the full range of experiences, including perinatal mood disorders. You can also listen to her podcast, watch her new birth stories on Twitter, and of course, share your own birth story if you'd like. You can find the site at birthstoriesondemand.com. Thanks for listening to today's tools for finding the information that's right for you. And be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great pregnancy tips in the future.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infant, and toddlers, our new show, Twin Talks, for parents with twin babies, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.